Money Radio. Thanks so much for joining us and joining us today. Pleasure to welcome Barbara Cave Hendricks and Rusty Shelton, co-authors of a new book, Mastering the New Media Landscape. Barbara, Rusty, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us. We're glad to be here.
Barbara is president of Cave Hendricks Communications, which is a media relations and consulting firm specializing in book publicity. And Rusty Shelton is CEO of Shelton Interactive. He leads one of the country's fastest growing digital marketing and PR agencies. The new book is Mastering the New Media Landscape, Embrace the Micromedia Mindset. First of all, how did you two come together? It sounds like you're in similar fields, but slightly different.
Yeah, I think we are definitely in similar fields. And Rusty and I met 5 or 6 years ago and started to talk about what we each did. And, you know, at that time, he was focusing largely on digital campaigns, training people in social media, building out website platforms for authors, while my firm was pretty firmly had its feet in what we would think of as traditional media. You know, radio like this, television, print, magazines, you know, the huge landscape of all those publications. What we were finding every day in our work is that we were coordinating with one another, but we weren't really integrating with other firms. So it was almost as though social media went down one track and traditional media went down another track. And what we found was that was really kind of an outdated framework for the way the world is really working today.
And it's very important as you're working with authors that they have what is commonly referred to as a platform. And you can't just create a platform through traditional media alone. You've got to have what is known now as, or what you're identifying as, micromedia. Explain micromedia for us.
Sure. So that's exactly right. We feel like we've entered the age of micromedia. In other words, everyone listening to this interview right now, every individual, whether they know it or not, is a media outlet. Some people listening may influence a few hundred people on Facebook or Twitter. Others may have a blog or a podcast where they're influencing thousands or even tens of thousands. We believe in this environment, it's very important to understand that there's an opportunity to grow a relationship with an audience that you can own the connection to. And so building out an email list, building out a website that people subscribe to or bookmark and you know, kind of build up traffic there to where you don't have to hope that the New York Times says yes to review your book. You don't have to hope that NPR says yes, although those things are incredibly important, as we'll talk a little bit about. When you control the connection with your audience and grow an audience that's large, you actually have the leverage to get to that audience anytime you want to. We think that's one of the biggest shifts that's happened in the media landscape over the last 5 or 10 years, and we've found that very few people realize they actually have that opportunity.
So micromedia is a website, a blog, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, all these different areas that really do allow us to turn into broadcasters, or maybe narrowcasters is a more accurate term for some folks.
Yeah, narrowcasters is a great word. You know, we call it, you know, going to the niche, but that's exactly it. What's happened now is that the gatekeepers of traditional media still exist. As Rusty said, we think traditional or earned coverage is more valuable than ever because it's more scarce. So that's basic economic principle. If it's scarce, it's more valuable. But what you also now have is opportunity. You don't have to wait for a gatekeeper to approve. You can directly go to a mass audience with your message, and micromedia are all those outlets that allow you to do that. So, you know, it's really sort of the golden age in a way. You know, we're in the early prospecting years where people who want to get in can. I think we have the largest population ever of what we would call layman journalists. We're all creating content. People are doing podcasts. They're doing video. YouTube is streaming it. We're all creating content, and you know, not everybody's a skilled communicator, and that's sort of what we want to say with the book is there's a lot to be learned about in this age of content. You know, let's get some skills under our belts as we begin to contribute.
I say narrow casting, I use that phrase, and that may sound as if it's directed to just a small audience, but really this micromedia has grown to be huge. And sometimes these micromedia outlets turn into be as big or even bigger than what we think of in traditional media.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the successful micromedia outlets out there right now, the individuals who have built up huge YouTube channels or built up, you know, really large podcasts or big email lists, it's because they're thinking more like media executives than marketers. So it's really a mindset shift where when you start to build an audience online, it's not because you're marketing yourself or you're marketing a product or you're marketing a service. It's because you're providing content that's entertaining and informative that people want to subscribe to. People listening to this interview, whether it's for their business or for themselves around the cause that they want to, you know, really champion, what Barbara and I would encourage you to do is really think more like a media executive, again, than a marketer, and think about how do I put on my journalist hat, and instead of just giving my opinion on things, how can I report on these topics? How can I interview others? How can I talk about what's most newsworthy in this category and, you know, kind of go beyond where a lot of people are, which is really a blog or content that's filled entirely with op-eds or just their opinion, instead of a well-rounded newspaper that sure has some op-eds but also has, you know, a lot of other content for people to choose from.
And journalism is not such an easy thing, particularly if it's not your main gig.
Yeah, I mean, there's a funny saying that we all learn how to write in the second grade, so we all think we can, you know, and it's true, we can, but, you know, there's a good reason that journalists, you know, those skills work so well. You know, they're honed. They, you know, they're used to doing this. I think one of the important things for people to remember is that journalists, you know, while it is sort of a solo occupation in terms of you go out, you get the story, you write it, you refine it, it also relies on sort of an editorial board. You know, that gatekeeper was also an editorial process. So your idea gets in front of eyes before it goes into the newspaper, onto the radio, onto television, into a magazine. So when people are really trying to establish a real top-notch content channel, something that's, you know, entertaining and informative and something that people want to go back to, they need to set up something like an editorial process for themselves, an informal board of directors. My one word of caution is always submit your work to another set of eyes, not just for proofreading, but just for that check of, hey, is that interesting? You know, what is the challenge to that? Is it newsworthy enough? All those are still really valid questions. Right now, people are kind of rushing to get a lot of content out. That's good, but I think there could stand to be a little bit of constraint and a little bit of, you know, care taken with that content.
And accuracy as well. I mean, it's become a running joke. It's got to be true because I read it on the internet.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And what I think a lot of people don't realize is, you know, even if it's just your Facebook page or even if it's just your Twitter feed, every piece of content you put out either enhances the attention that people are looking to give you. In other words, it makes them more interested in your perspective. Or if you're posting something overly political or something that, as you mentioned, is just a quick rush to judgment, your credibility that has been built up over several years can go out the window in an instant. So you've got to be really conscious that everything that you put out is either adding to your credibility in your audience or it's detracting from it.
Good point. It's interesting, Barbara, your background in printed books and the new digital platforms that are available, the idea that we are now able to integrate this kind of media together, and you talk about it in the book, the actual platforms that are required to come up with a fully integrated strategy, and you refer to rented media, earned media, and owned media as part of an integrated strategy. But what are we really talking about when we say rented, earned, owned?
Sure. It's a great question. So I think at the beginning of the call, we talked about Rusty and I coming together. You know, I'm from the traditional end and he's from the social media end. And that was largely the framework. Everyone thought in terms of I'll do this over here in traditional and this over on my left hand in social. I would look at that as sort of a 2D look at the world. Right now, I think we're looking at 3D. So now, instead of categorizing traditional social, you can categorize them in different buckets that are a little more helpful. Earned media is traditional or any place that you have to earn the right to broadcast your message. So us being on this radio show is earned media. Getting mentioned in someone very influential's blog is earned media. Anywhere where you need permission. owned media is your own website, your newsletter, email list, your blog, any piece of media that you completely are autonomous over. Rented media is this category that we hear so much of, your Facebook page, your Twitter account, your LinkedIn account. It is your information, but it's sitting on space on a platform that someone else owns and controls. So if Twitter gets a complaint about you, they can shut you down immediately. Facebook changed its algorithm in 2013 and limited the access that brands had to the millions of fans they had collected on those platforms. So what we're saying is those are great platforms to contribute, but you do not want to grow an audience solely on one of those platforms because it could go out of business tomorrow. So the three categories, sir, if you think of them in a circle, feed one another. In other words, you get a lot of media in the rented space. You start making a lot of noise there. The story gets, you know, legs, gets a little bit viral. Traditional media starts to pay attention. You get a lot of general media, traditional earned media coverage, and people want to come over and check you out on your own website. So they work in a circle. At the same time, you really want to be pointing your rented space and your earned space into an area. You're going to try to urge people to follow you on a platform that you own. So you want to push everything toward that own space.
You've got to make sure that own space is really strong and powerful. But then on the rented media, as you say, those things come and go, and it's kind of hard to see which one is going to be the most effective and powerful for you. And there are all these new platforms coming along, it seems like, all the time, and just keeping up with them can be quite a challenge. How do we deal with all those new platforms, all that new technology that's coming into use?
Oh, you're exactly right there. Barbara and I often say it's both the most exciting and overwhelming time ever to build an audience. Most exciting, of course, because we've got more opportunity than ever, but most overwhelming because, yes, it seems like every day there's a new platform popping up. So you're right. There's a lot of focus that has to happen around that and, you know, almost an infinite amount of different things that you could do with your time. What Barbara and I are always looking at is, you know, what are going to be the biggest engines for growth for your platform? So in other words, what are the things that are going to allow you to have the biggest return for the time that you put into it? One of the biggest mistakes that we see is people get out and start a profile on 10 or 15 different social media or rented media channels, as we call it, and they burn themselves out really quickly because they can't do well on any single one. So as Barbara and I look at it, we believe it's important to have a strategy that has a foot in each of the three buckets. So it's really important to have a great website and home-based blog, owned media there, so that as people are hearing about you, whether it's from a radio interview or they see something on Facebook that they like, they can come in and join your email list. So, you know, we often say that right now it's so important to be able to own discoverability around your name. So anybody listening to this interview that doesn't own their name as a website address, so firstnamelastname.com, we would really encourage them to go out and reserve it, whether it's at GoDaddy or Network Solutions, to grab that as an owned media space. So website and blog is really important. On the rented media side, we feel like Twitter and LinkedIn, particularly for a business audience like you have, Sinclair, those two platforms are really big engines right now for growing new relationships, where Facebook is a bit more focused on people you already know, and it's a better place to be once people know to look for you. And then certainly on the earned media side, as Barbara referenced, the credibility that comes along with the understanding from an audience that somebody invited you onto their stage and gave you the opportunity to share insight, it's really important to have that as well. So we encourage people to be really focused across each of those three areas, and when you're doing that, you'll have the biggest return for the time you put in.
Barbara Cave Hendricks and Rusty Shelton, our guests today, they are co-authors of a new book, Mastering the New Media Landscape, Embrace the Micromedia Mindset, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment. Money Radio, thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking with Barbara Cave Hendricks and Rusty Shelton new book, Mastering the New Media Landscape, Embrace the Micromedia Mindset. And I saw this and I thought, you know, this is important. I've been around in traditional media for a long time, but I have to admit there are still challenges for me in the micromedia mindset. You're talking about rented media, owned media, Twitter, LinkedIn, a website, a blog. Once you have that architecture in place, you still have to attract an audience to it.
Exactly. So I think, you know, you're already doing it. You know, on your radio show, you don't just get on and talk and give us your opinions. You're interviewing us. You're inviting other people onto your stage. Rusty referenced, you know, thinking more like a media executive or a journalist than a marketer. And that's it. When you want to attract someone, what you have to do is create something that informs, entertains, and delivers value every time. So you're talking about becoming not just a me-first platform, you know, constantly waving your hand or having everything through your own lens. You really want to be thinking about building something that is valuable to someone in your space, your category, you know, your core audience. That requires a little bit of forethought. It requires, hey, who else would I like to hear from? What's trending in my particular area? In communications right now, there's a lot of focus on content creation. So when I blog, I sometimes interview journalists or I interview editors about what they're looking for or give people some advice or pass on advice. Becoming valuable to an audience is the first step to growing it. So when you start creating that content platform, no matter where you're contributing, whether it's on a rented channel, whether it's in the earned space, or finally get them over to your own space, you need to be thinking all the time about what's valuable for following me.
And by the way, you do practice what you preach, because throughout the book, there are interview vignettes with journalists and authors and other people that are experts in micromedia and in media. Those turned out to be very insightful, by the way, those little question and answer sessions at the end of the chapters.
Thank you. You know, it's always interesting to us when we're talking to anyone, particularly journalists and editors, you know, when we're pitching them an idea, whether they say yes or no, there's always valuable information. So if they say yes, you know, we have a pretty good idea that a pitch is interesting. Often the no gives us a lot of information too. You know, I'm not covering this because I already did the story, or I don't think the author is the right one to be delivering this message. Everything that we learn, you know, part of our job is pitching things out, but the other 50% of our job is listening to what people want and what they say. And that's what we try to do in the book, for sure.
And Claire, one of the things I would add to that is there's been a lot made about the death of print media or the death of traditional media. And, you know, as Barbara referenced earlier, we actually believe it's more valuable than it's ever been before. And for anyone who's looking to build an audience in the new media landscape, there's so much that can be learned for people who have built their careers around keeping audiences not only entertained, but giving them something that they can go out and share. And I'm glad you appreciated that. That we felt like that was a really important part of this.
Another important part that you brought to our attention today is that content is so very, very vital. But even once we have content, even once we pull together that architecture, it's still a matter of getting discovered. And so now that you're on some traditional media here with me, let's make sure people know how to discover you. How can they find out more about you and your sites or contact information?
Absolutely. So we've set up a website, masteringthenewmedialandscape.com, and we have a number of resources that are available there. Several free downloads for people who are really looking to get going. Barbara's website is cavehenricks.com, and then my website is rustyshelton.com, and we both blog regularly and love hearing from people who are getting started with this and answering questions. So would love to hear from anyone that is kind of getting started and would love to follow along with their journey.
Masteringthenewmedialandscape.com, and that's the title of the book, Mastering the New Media Landscape. Barbara Cave Henricks and Rusty Shelton, and thank you for teaching an old dog some new tricks in this book and doing it in an easy-to-read and fun manner. And best of luck mastering the new media landscape. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having us. We
Thanks
sure appreciate
so
it.